They scheduled me for my radio show, the Radio Statler show, at exactly 12 o'clock. So they're actually holding an elevator for me at the end of the talk. So I'm going to be like rolling. Logical Psychosecurity, it'll be at 12 o'clock right at the end of the talk. You're welcome to tag along and ask a lot of questions, or I think it's an IRC channel, there's a phone-in number, all sorts of fun stuff. So please listen to the radio show. Radio Statler's doing a great job. Bunny, who I think you heard mentioned in the last talk, is down there typing her fingers off on IRC and just having a good time. Anyway, let's get to it. So the first question a lot of people ask is, who the hell are you? And I like to discuss that because I'm pretty much kind of a weirdo, which, never mind. Anyway, I'm an ex-cop, I'm an ex-fireman. I've been doing video surveillance for years. I don't actually do that much anymore professionally, but I handled a lot of Vegas casinos, Indian casinos out west, prisons, pretty much you name it, from literally people's houses, very, very rich people's houses, big houses, all the way up to Vegas casinos, like I said. So I've done video surveillance, I've done facial analytics, I've done facial recognition, face tracking, all that sort of fun stuff. I was actually around when they started installing it in separate appliance boxes before they integrated it into all the video surveillance boxes there are now. So it's I kind of grew up with it a little bit, and it's a lot of fun. That's why I kind of make it a hobby. So now my hobby, my work is standing over a computer all day, so my hobby is too. But anyway, I've also, as you can see, I've done just about everything. I'm a blacksmith, or I was, haven't done that in a while. I'm a registered horse dentist, yes, just trust me on this. I've done just about everything. People actually hire me just to see my resume. It's really funny. But I should tell you that the company I work for now is not sponsoring this talk. I work for White Hat Security right now, and I had to put this in because they were like, my God, what are you talking about? I'm like, just, it's cool, don't worry about it. This is not, I'm going to read this, forgive me, I try not to read my slides. This is not a White Hat Security presentation. These slides, ideas, opinions, and jokes are all Josh Marpet's. Trust me, they're bad jokes, that's why they're mine. And should not be taken to be related in any way, shape, or form as White Hat Security's, because Jeremiah Grossman tells much better jokes than I do. So, and if you know Jeremiah, you understand that. All right, let's get to the meat of the matter. This talk is about video surveillance and how it actually affects you. Now, I'm going to go off slide for a second here. A lot of people that I hang out with, you guys, are amateur or semi-professional or professional photographers, videographers. We record our existence. We record our lives. We have fun. I mean, Lady Ada was just talking about how she has a camera with an iFi card just to send everything to the blog, everything to the Twitter, everything here. It goes out, man. We are living life public, right? So that's why there's so many talks here about privacy. That's why there's so many talks here about all the different ways that your life can be public yet still retain some privacy. Or if you want to go all full public, go for the full Monty, whatever. Whatever your choice is. But we tend to record our lives. I mean, who here has a digital camera? Pretty much, okay? Who here has camcorders, security systems, other digital besides your primary digital camera? Yeah, a lot of people. So how can that affect your life? And that's what I want to talk about. So this is the perception of video surveillance today. There's a guy with a camera looking over the cubicle wall at you going, hey, I'm going to find out what you do wrong. It's not true. That's what it used to be. This is the reality. It's very sophisticated systems. Okay, these systems can track you, follow you, watch you, know who you are. It's pretty scary. Okay, that makes sense. There's some limitations. It actually doesn't know who you are unless you've been enrolled in the system, and it takes a lot more to enroll someone in the system than you think. If you watch like Las Vegas, the show, they're like, video IQ the guy, and they find him like 50 floors away, 6 seconds later, and you're like, no. Trust me, it doesn't work that way. But it is getting cheaper to do, it is getting easier to do, and I'll refer back. Lady Ada will tell you that as silicon gets more advanced and mature, features from higher grades start coming down. They get commoditized, okay? So how is it being used today? Well, law enforcement uses it in a lot of ways. This guy actually was arrested because of facial recognition technology, okay? And by the way, you'll notice I am quoting all my sources, so I'm properly citing everybody. I got busted at a last talk. If anybody knows Mubix, I used one of his pictures. I didn't even realize it. He's like, that's my picture. Held up his iPhone and shows me the picture, so I'm citing everybody. So if you see any of your stuff in here and I didn't cite you, just tell me. I'll fix it. So how does law enforcement use facial recognition, facial analytics, facial technology? Well, they caught a guy, and if you live in any state that has a facial recognition coming in, like Delaware, they actually use facial recognition in their DMV process. They'll check you against their warrants list. There are other states that have different rules. I really don't want him to smile at me in any way, shape, or form. But a lot of them require the no-smile rule, and the reason is because facial recognition software is very strict. Your face is made up of polygons. If you're not smiling, and every picture is not smiling, they have a baseline, okay? If you have a picture where you're smiling, your face has changed. We'll get more into that in a bit, but that's why they say the no-smile rule. Anyway, I just wanted to show you what people are doing these days. Again, in Vegas, they arrested a guy based on facial recognition of a DMV. In California, facial recognition software for the DMV. Do you get the trend here, people? Okay? What's going on is that at DMVs, they're going, hey, we've got this cool database of everybody's face who's got a driver's license. Let's take them all. And the FBI actually did it. More DMV. Good Lord. More DMV. Oh, wait. The FBI. The FBI is taking DMV photos, and they're trying, they did this in one state, I think it was North Carolina. They actually took it and ran it against every DMV photo against their 10 most wanted against their fugitives list. And they said, hey, is anybody in there that we want? And I don't believe they caught anybody from that. They got this one guy, but it wasn't their list. It was like a state list that they had access to. Irrespectively, that was a test. And if anybody didn't catch that, that was a test. Effectively, within the next few years, there was a huge privacy uproar about this, by the way. If anybody remembers it, it was, I think, about a year ago or so. But the FBI was looking to see, not only can we catch somebody based on this, but will anybody care? Will anybody care if we take every state DMV photo and effectively create a database of every person's face, at least everyone with a driver's license? So I'm guessing most everybody here has a driver's license, unless you live in New York City, in which case you're like, who needs a car? Pretty much exactly correct. The question, because the gentleman didn't use the mic, was that even if you don't have a driver's license, a lot of places you need some form of photo ID, and a state-issued photo ID is the cheapest, easiest way to get it. Guess what? It's still got your photo. Okay, so even if you don't have a driver's license, you have your state-issued photo ID. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. So he's got a good point. So what happens when the FBI has everybody's face in a nice little database, and hey, we got video of the crime that happened last night. You know, your face matches. Would you mind coming in for questioning, please? I'm not really great about that, let's be honest here. Okay, guys? Just a little detail thing. But, you know, it's interesting because facial recognition, which was seen as law enforcement tool of the future, you know, Dick Tracy, you know, pick up your watch and look for the face. Video IQ is face. I swear to God they're going to do that in Las Vegas in like a week. But anyway, it's gotten so cheap that you can actually do it online. I mean, this is your presenter, who used this this cool morph program to decide, what do I look like if you change my race? So I did a couple of them. This one was really funny. I liked this one. This one also was very funny, and it's remarkably correct, actually. What's that? Thank you, dear. She will vouch for that. She's seen me that way, and it's quite funny. It is remarkably correct. They have a great idea of what happens, and it's interesting because you laugh, and then you realize, wait, I literally did this. I'm laughing. I'm like, oh, that's great. And I'm like, wow, that really does look like me when I'm drunk. And I went back, and I took a look at what they do, and I realized they actually got a lot of people drunk and took pictures of them and changed. They realized how the face changes from sober to drunk, from me to me. And then, so what they can do is they can use that data and extrapolate what you will look like when you're drunk. They can use that data and extrapolate what you will look like when you're a different race. They'll extrapolate what you look like when you're upset, happy, mad, murderous rage. There's all ways to do this. It's interesting. Now, there's these shows like Lie to Me, and I don't know if you believe that stuff or not, that outside the scope of what we're talking about, okay? I'm not talking about emotions and can you detect if he's lying or not. I'm talking about when you smile, you look a certain way. When I'm drunk, I look and slur my words a certain way. And you can extrapolate that from data, right? Okay, so it's getting cheaper to figure out and do facial recognition. The silicon's getting cheaper. It's getting easier. It's filtering down through the price levels, if that makes sense. So, I mean, there's amazingly stupid things out there. Like, you can put in yourself and your best friend's picture and see what a baby will come out, as long as you want to pay the cell charges and $9.99 a month. So I didn't feel like doing it, so I just took a picture of this slide. But that's kind of cool. I mean, you can morph the two people together. You could always do that, but they're starting to get enough data that it's hitting critical mass. They can really do it pretty well. Some of them are silly, but we'll get to that in a second. They also have these amazingly stupid things. Some of them don't work at all, because according to this, let's see, I look 60% like Carson Daly and 50% like Christie Brinkley. No. I'm fairly sure no one would mistake me for Christie Brinkley. Just my personal thoughts. And sometimes it's actually kind of cute. I had to include this. I thought it was hilarious. And that's actually from a celebrity lookalike program. And I'm not going there. I have nothing about political views in my presentation. I am not stating that GW looks like an orangutan or acts like one or in any way, shape, or form. Never mind. Yeah, that's probably true. Anyway, so, but very seriously, they actually have interesting machines out there. I ran into this. I teach occasionally whenever they're bored and decide to throw me a class at St. John's University on Staten Island. And I ran into this in the cafeteria, and I was like, wow, this is really cool. This is just a machine. They built a cool-looking kiosk. It looks like a death ray machine. It's very neat. But inside, it's just a kiosk computer. I was like, oh, this is disappointing. I was like, you know, ray guns and shit. Anyway. But what it does is you sit there, and it takes a picture of your face, standard webcam. You align your eyes, okay? Put these crosses on your eyes and put this at the corners of your mouth, blah, blah, blah. And it'll change your race for you. So this is one person. I decided to use their exemplar. This is the same person with their race changed to different things. So, I mean, not only is it online stupid stuff, but it's getting out there to try to educate people about different races, about, you know, how to be nice to each other, kumbaya, and that's great, that's wonderful. But the idea is we're using facial recognition technology in everyday uses, besides law enforcement uses, that are really fascinating to me. I really like how it's gotten so cheap and so easy, how it's done in software, not in special appliances that cost. I mean, I bought one once for a casino that was $150,000, and this is just for the appliance, not the video serve system, okay? I mean, this is awesome stuff, but that means that it's getting cheaper, it's getting easier, it's going to be easier to do to you, okay? That's a problem. Is it? Could it be? Well, yeah, I mean, but anyway, I got a couple other neat uses. Back in 2006, they had facial recognition technology, but this was like $150,000 routine. There was a smart house, and it would recognize you at the door and go, "Hi, how are you doing, sir? Josh, Mr. Josh, you're home. Please come on in." But nowadays, it's in my camera. That's the camera I just bought. That camera, when you walk away, you don't need a self-timer, because when you set it on a tripod and walk back and, you know, hug everybody, you wink at it, and it takes the picture. I was like, no. And the guy at Best Buy was like, let me show you. This is cool. We've got stoners demonstrating facial recognition technology now. Awesome. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. And it actually, by the way, just neat thing, it also detects a blink. So if you're trying to like take a picture of somebody and they're blinking like, oh my God, the flash is, it won't take the picture. It'll stop and tell you, take it again, he's a schmuck. So, let's get on to why. I've been mentioning uses of this. This is great, but let's get on to how it could be bad. I'm sure you've heard of the states very recently that came up with these interesting new laws. We'll talk about them in detail in a second, that make it illegal to record an on-duty police officer. Okay? So I've been talking about facial recognition. We're mildly switching gears. Bear with me. The video surveillance in general is interesting, and I'll explain why. Audio surveillance and video surveillance are really, really different beasts. Audio surveillance comes around from the days of the gangsters. Al Capone, hey, how you doing? What it is a wiretap laws. The wiretap laws say very simply, hey, you can't record somebody because they have an expectation of privacy. So if you want to invade that expectation of privacy, you need a court order. Makes sense. Because when I'm talking to somebody on the phone, it's me, it's them, and that's it. Okay? So to invade that expectation of privacy, you have to get a court order. Let's say I'm talking to somebody out in the open. Do I still have an expectation of privacy? Yes, because if I can't see anybody for 20 or 30 feet around me, they're out of earshot. I'm private. Now, of course, lip readers and shotgun mics and everything else, but ignore that for a minute. Realistically, there's an expectation of privacy. That's why you're supposed to need a court order to record audio, okay? Video. Is there an expectation of privacy in video? Well, right now, we're in a restricted event. You have to have one of these to get in unless you're really clever and can sneak in, okay? But if I'm out on the street and I put up a video camera, I'm holding it above my head, can I video everybody legally? Absolutely. There's no expectation of privacy. You're walking on a public street, all right? That's it, done deal. You strip off all your clothes and run naked down the street, guess what? It's still legal to video you. It may be funny as hell, by the way, but it's still legal, okay? So there's no expectation of privacy, no court order needed. That's why, by the way, a lot of video surveillance systems are just that, video surveillance systems. I've done casinos where there's only two mics in the whole casino, and one would be in the cash room, and one would be in like the manager's office or something else so they can catch if he's skimming. Okay, that's pretty common actually. Not the manager's office, but only one or two mics. So audio surveillance is a very, very different animal. They're trying to make it not so, okay? These three states, I'm mildly jumping ahead, forgive me. It's really cool stuff. These three states, Illinois, Massachusetts, and Maryland, have actually reinterpreted their audio surveillance laws into their video surveillance laws. They say for audio surveillance, you're taking an electronic representation of data, audio, and you're moving it along a stream. You know, wireless, whatever, right? Make sense so far? Now, an electronic transmission of data. Well, an image broken down into bits and bytes is an electronic transmission of data. So they've just added the word image to their audio surveillance laws. That sucks. Now you need a court order to take a freaking video camera picture? Oh wait, they added a little more language to it because we don't want to make you get a court order to walk down the street camcordering everybody, especially if it's girls gone wild. So what they did was they added image and the words on duty police officer. So unless a police officer gives consent, you're not allowed to image them, an on duty police officer, you're not allowed to take an image of them and send it down a wire or a wire into a DVD or a VHSC or DIV, whatever, doesn't matter. The SD card, that's an electronic transmission of data. Even if it's internal to the camera, it's transmitting the data from the sensor to the card, okay? This is really screwy, people. I'm really not happy about that because what it means is, you know, in the very near future, you're talking about very, very serious, significant, basically taking away your right to take a picture. I'll need a model release from everybody in this room if I took a video of them. That's stupid. Give me a break. Okay, so there's a lot of people that are working on this, and this is Bert Krages, K-R-A-G-E-S, and I apologize, I thought I had it up there. Bert Krages has a really good printable PDF that you walk along around with you, and this is not only because of video, this is also because of photography. I'm gonna get some water, bear with me 1 second, but I'm a loud mouth, so I can keep doing this. So if you're a photographer, I'm working on it. So if you're a photographer, gotta dial down the volume when I get back to the mic. So if you're a photographer and you take a picture of, for example, London Bridge, that's cool. But if you're a photographer dressed in Arab clothing and take a picture of London Bridge, you get arrested. Okay, and it's actually a true story. And if anybody can find this, please send the link to me. I will give you a free bottle of Club Mate, whatever the hell it's called. There's a joke website that actually did that. They sent a guy dressed as a tourist, you know, in shorts and t-shirt and sandal, anyway. And they sent him to London Bridge, this is in the UK, and he took pictures of London Bridge and nobody bothered him. The next day, same guy, not shorts, t-shirt, and sandals, he put on like turban and headdress and robes and stuff. He wanted to take pictures and like three policemen gang tackled him. Okay, so he was like, excuse me, this is my right to do. And they're like, no, it's not, you're Arab. Point. Anyway, so there's a lot of people that do things about photographers and videographers' rights, it all sort of mingles together. Bert Krages has the printable PDF, Carlos Miller has the photography is not a crime. There's a lot of issues in the UK, and we're seeing a lot of issues here in the US. Basically, what they're doing is they're making it illegal to point your camera at anything national security related. Scary. What's national security related? Is the Hotel Pennsylvania national security related? Yes, it's right across from Penn Station. So? Is Penn Station national security related? Yes, it's a major transportation hub. It also happens to be one of the most amazingly beautiful buildings around. It's gorgeous. Has anybody ever been inside Penn Station and just taken a picture because it's so beautiful? I bet a lot of people have. I know I have. It's a gorgeous place. Beautiful old building. It's national security restricted to take a picture of it. Did you know that? I didn't. I actually asked one of the military guys in Digicam and all sorts of interesting pouches and crap strung to them, and they told me, yeah, it's national security restricted, but we don't really bother most people because we know it's just tourists taking pictures. I'm like, so who do you bother? And they sort of looked uncomfortable and looked away and wouldn't answer me. I got the idea. So it's getting to the point where not only is it going to be national security restricted, and this is mildly a joke, this was actually an act of vandalism. This is the Seattle skyline. Getty Images apparently copyrighted it. You're not allowed to take a picture of it anymore. That's a joke. It's okay. Somebody vandalized the wall because Getty Images is trying to copyright everything, but I thought you'd like it. But again, in the UK, they're doing the same thing. Why can't we take pictures of policemen? You know, are cameras the new guns? This is a serious issue. Do we have the rights to take pictures? Okay. How about, and I don't believe I have it in here, how about the guy that was the motorcyclist who was driving down the road and was videoing himself driving down the road and was speeding, like, a lot, and got pulled over by an unmarked cop car with a guy with wearing, you know, a button-down shirt and slacks and a gun? Oh, details. Who screamed at him for 5 minutes and threatened him to shoot him and everything else. Like, who the hell are you? He's like, I'm a cop. Oh, that would have been nice to tell me. And they let him go with misdemeanor, and then they realized he videoed it because he put it up on YouTube 10 days later, and all of a sudden it was a felony. And he could go to jail for 16 years, and it's a current case, by the way. These are dangerous things. And they actually got him for the same thing, audio. He recorded audio without the consent of the policeman who he was recording. Personally, I think that's BS. See, look, this is the audio laws, okay? You see one party and two party? Can everybody read that? Bloody hell. We can fix that. How's that? Yeah, on the fly, baby. Okay, so one party and two party states are pretty simple. The idea behind this is, remember that I'm talking to somebody on the phone and we have an expectation of privacy? In a two party state, both parties have to consent to the recording, okay? In a one-party state, I alone have to consent to the recording. Now, mind you, I have a little disclaimer there on the bottom right. Please remember, I am not a lawyer, okay? Check your own laws before you do this. Don't take my word for it. I got this off what I consider a reputable site, but please check. So if, for example, you live in New Jersey and call a friend in New Jersey, like your ex, who's, I don't know, a real pain in the ass, and you're trying to make sure that she understands that you're going to be there on Thursday to pick up your stuff and you don't want any trouble and you're trying to be good about this. And on Thursday, you show up and she calls the cops because you're invading the house. And you go, here's the recording. That's illegal. No, it's not. It's a one-party state. She didn't have to know. Okay? That's cool. That's legit. But if, for example, you lived in Connecticut, that would be bad. Then you would be going to jail not only for breaking into the house, but you would be going to jail for federal wiretapping charges. Be careful, people. Seriously? Okay. But anyway, these are the points that I was talking about, one party, two party, with videotaping and audio taping, the active duty police officers. They're saying that it's a two-party state. You have to consent to the videotaping, which of course you are, you're taking the videotape, and the active duty police officer has to consent as well. Well, what active duty police officer is going to consent to you videotaping him while he's, you know, slamming some guy into the sidewalk? Sure, take a picture. Not normally going to happen. So that's how they're justifying that. They're saying, well, it's not two-party consent. It's illegal to do. He's out in the open. Expectation of privacy is not there. Anyway, you can also check this out. This is one of the sites that I go to. The NCSL is actually a National Conference of State Legislatures, and if you go in there, it'll actually show you, is that big enough? Yeah, okay, good. It'll actually show you per state. I just took a screenshot. You get all of them, though. It gives you a much better idea of your state and how the laws are. This is really a great resource, okay? And this is straight from the code. If you click on the specific section of code, it'll actually take you there. You can read for yourself. Once you fall asleep a few times and wake back up, you might actually be able to figure it out. These things are impenetrable. Holy God. But it is useful to know your own state and the state where your ex lives, and just a detail thing. But be careful. Video is mentioned in some, a lot of them now. They're rewriting the laws, literally rewriting the laws to make video a problem. And photography right along with it, okay? So this means you're going to get in trouble. No. I didn't say if. This means you're going to get in trouble. This is a problem. I mean, like, trust me, this person in Houston, photographed a cop who was parking in a handicapped spot to get a coffee. Come on, that's crappy. You know, and yeah, all right, so he was only parked there for 5 minutes, but still, it's crappy, right? That's rude. In his unit, parks in a handicapped spot? Come on. So the guy photographs him with a cell phone. The cop followed him home and threatened to take, you know, give me the phone or you're going to jail. Okay, dude, here's the phone. I mean, this is abuse, but it happens. So you're going to get in trouble, because I like to think of all my hacker friends as good people who go out of their way to do the right thing. Yeah, okay. But I mean, recording police is now illegal. There's all sorts of people coming up with ways to try to fix things. There's Cop Watch. They actually send out video cameras. Back in the old days, they sent out film video cameras. You'd send it back to them, or VHS rather. You'd send it back to them after a while, and they'd put it up in the database. Not that their database is great, but it does work. They're virulently anti-cop, and strangely enough, for all my ranting about, you know, changing the laws, I'm actually an ex-cop, and I actually am pro-cop. I'm pro-police, but I'm pro-good police. I like to think I was a good cop. So if you think I'm anti-cop, I'm not. I'm actually pro-police. I believe we need them, but it's a personal thing. So anyway, how do you, who are definitely going to get in trouble, dude, how many of you carry a camera all the time? Clap. You're screwed. You're going to get in trouble. How do we take care of it? How do you stay out of jail? Let me be honest, that's the goal. Don't go to jail. It really sucks. I used to work in them. Okay? Do what they say. Mr. Officer, you want me to give you my camera? Can I just give you the data card? Sure, because normally they understand that's where the data is. Okay, here's the data card. I don't care. I'm fine with that. Do you know why? Has anybody heard of GandhiCom or Quick? No? Awesome. Okay. I learned this off of Reddit. But there was a record a cop day a while back. And what they did was, they said, how do you record a cop, even if they tell you to hand over the SD card, not get screwed? There's two projects that I found out about. One's a project, one's a commercial product. GandhiCom, which is the bottom there, is actually an open source project that runs on your smartphone, or depends on your camera, might be able to run there, that actually will, once you finish recording, once you hit stop recording, it then immediately uploads it to a place of your choice, FTP, your server, whatever. Hand over the SD card. It's cool. By the time they've asked for it, it's already on your server. Hey, life is good. I don't care about the SD card. Go to town. I've got it digitally. Have a nice day. Because I've got it on my 3G phone, and it's gone. All right? And this, by the way, Kick or Quick, or probably Quick, whatever, actually uploads it in real time. Okay? So as you're recording it, it's streaming, and it's streaming up to the net, and it could be streaming live to somebody watching that cop brutalize you right now. So again, hand over the SD card. Give it to them. It's okay. Because if you're set up previously, you know, prior to this incident, then you're good. You're solid. There's no problems. Okay? So again, that was GandhiCom and Quick. So the other points, don't get arrested and know your rights. The rights I kind of covered with Bert Krages and the other project, CarlosMiller.com. Don't get arrested. How do we avoid that? Well, you know, I can inform the police that I'm recording. Can you all see that? I'm recording audio and video. This is the visual equivalent of those phone calls that you make to companies, and before you get to talk to a live person, it goes, this call will be recorded for training purposes only. Okay? What's that? I'm recording you for training purposes. I'm not going there. Anyway. Okay. So, and so you can be informed of your rights. You can do various things to set up. You know, if you're going to a protest march or whatever, I honestly would wear one of these shirts. I mean, it sounds stupid, but I would do it. I would also set your camera up or your 3G phone or whatever you're using to record video up with one of these programs, GandhiCam or Quick, to make sure that your stuff gets off. Even if they take your phone and smash it on the ground, it should get the image or the video up to the uploaded server. There's a lot of people fighting this legally. Gene versus Massachusetts State Police, you can videotape and publicize it. This is not even the person, this case, by the way, wasn't even the person who took the video. This was the person who they gave the video to, and that person put it on the net. And the police said, you can't do that. I got a video legally, I'm putting it up on the net. What's your problem? And they're like, well, it shows bad things about the police. And? You can't do that. Yes, I can. So there's a lot of people doing legal ramifications, legal methods to try to keep your rights intact. And I strongly recommend looking them up. And if you're an avid photographer, an avid social events type of protester or person, whatever, I'd really get involved because it will affect things like, you know, your arrest record, your job prospects, your friends in jail. You don't want them named Bubba, trust me. So, know your rights. There's a lot of, I mean, this is just, I just went through and did 5 seconds worth. It's ridiculous. Okay, so how do I keep my face out of databases? How do I not get stuck by something, by them taking a video and seeing my face? How do I make sure that I've got my rights done, I'm good, I'm fine, I'm solid, I've got my camera set up or my phone set up with the right programs, but even if they get me on a video, like, you know, throwing a stone at a G20 guard or whatever, I don't know. How do I make sure that they can't identify me? So we're going back to facial recognition, so forgive me, I'm jumping a little bit around. Don't go to a Vegas casino, don't count cards. Going to a casino, most of the time, they don't record your face. I mean, yes, you're recorded, but it's not kept very long. I'll get into that in a second. Don't get arrested, because then you're going in a database. And don't get a driver's license, because then you're going in a database. That's a problem. I like driving around, dude. So,
yeah,
go green. Drive my bike to Boston tomorrow. No. So, what do you actually do? I mean, is this a real threat? Is this a real problem? Are they going to identify you? Are they going to, you know, steal your camera? Are they going to smash your SD card? What's going to happen? Well, out of the range of threats that I've proposed, yes, they're going to smash your SD card or they're going to confiscate it. So I gave you a couple of alternatives how to get rid of that data immediately, okay? Are they going to smash it? Maybe, maybe not. Are they going to take a picture of your face and try to identify you later? Yes. But for now, it's not a big deal. Realistically, most cameras don't track faces. Facial recognition in the industrial world, okay, which is, you know, commercial and industrial, is still very expensive. It's still very hard to set up. It's still very hard to do correctly, and it has the success rate of a toddler with a Lego Mindstorms. Okay, it sucks. At a really good system, a really well-tuned system, facial recognition is about 60%, and I mean, that's a good system. Okay, so don't worry about it too much yet. Most cameras aren't even looked at, to be honest with you. Look, I've set up cameras in Manhattan. I've set up cameras for NYPD. I've set up cameras for Vegas casinos. Most of them get this much attention. They don't get looked at. They're not watched. Don't worry about it most of the time. That doesn't mean do anything stupid, please. But most recordings are deleted after 3 days, 14 days, or 30 days. Those are kind of the common sort of benchmarks. And the reason is storage. Video is very expensive to store. I mean, I've installed 140 terabyte SAN arrays for a little tiny Indian casino. That's not cheap. That was a major portion of their operating budget for that year, was to buy that array. Okay, and that only held 30 days worth of video. That's it. So, you know, after a month, if they haven't caught you, you're probably good. But some aren't. Military hold 7 years, and they're talking about making it 20. That's a full perimeter coverage of all military bases. That's a lot of storage. They have chassis. I've been to one that the storage chassis for the disks reached to the frickin' ceiling, and it was a taller building than we're in now, a taller room, and it was a big freaking room. The problem is they have a huge amount of fence and they have full perimeter coverage by law and they hold it for 7 years. Holy crap, okay? They weren't getting rid of recordings. They were just decommissioning the old chassis and throwing them out and putting a new one on. That's how old they were. So look, here's the simplest part. If you're gonna do anything really stupid, okay? Like, I don't know, hack a street sign? Oh, bloody hell.
Can you even see that?
All right. It says, caution zombie strippers. Damn it, I didn't realize it wouldn't show up, I'm sorry. Or on the right, recession turns IT workers into hackers if you're gonna go after your former employer. Or if, for example, on the lower left, you have a station wagon that says, caution slow moving vehicle radio coverage testing. Read war driving. You know, don't do this. Seriously, just don't do that, okay? What? What about it? Oh, yeah, cute. Yeah, then it's even easier. You know, okay, look, I'm sorry, but if you've got facial tattoos and you try to commit a crime, you're just dumb. Okay? How can we identify him? He was a white male. Well, there's a lot of those. How can we identify him? He was a white male with, you know, a Jonathan tattooed across his cheekbone. Dear God, we're going to pick him up next minute, you know? Come on. I'm sorry. I've got to tell you this. When I worked as a cop, I worked jails for a long time down in Louisiana. And with one guy, this is so freaking hilarious. I wish I had a picture of him. Do you know three strike laws? Three times and you're done, right? Well, he got popped for a felony, and he thought, okay, it's my third, I'm done. So he got out on bail, and he had like 1 week before trial. They were like, speedy trial, he's going away. So he went to the tattoo parlor, and so he could have some cred in prison. He had 3X loser tattooed on his whole forehead in bright fluorescent orange, outlined in black, just to make it cool. And he got off on that charge. We let him out after trial, and like, normally it's one guy escorting him out. We had 45 officers escorting him out just so we could laugh at him. I love that day. Now, mind you, he was in jail in 3 months because he was stupid. But that day was great. Anyway, so don't do permanent marker on your face. Yeah, it'll disguise my face, and I can't get it off for a week, and they'll come and see, hey, you're the guy with black all over your face? Come on, we're going to jail. Don't do this. As much as everybody goes, hey, put a pantyhose over your head and walk down the street, you know, first off, you can see them through it, and second off, if it's a control top, we're going to have a problem. So. The old cameras were actually, they were film, and if you had the older cameras, are you talking about the old still, sorry, the old IP video camera, or the old analog video cameras that had crappy resolution?
Well, that, but also even with film cameras, you didn't see as much through pantyhose. The thing is, modern cameras pick up more IR, so it's right through
all. I find it fascinating that you know how much cameras pick up through pantyhose. No, it's okay. We really don't want to hear it. No, I apologize. He's right. Depending on the IR and the IR cut filter in the camera and lots of technical details, depends on how much you can penetrate through materials. And that's why if you have one of the old, I think it's the Sony with super night vision, they're off the market now because they go right through clothes. It's really interesting. They call them X-ray cameras. There's a reason. They're popular on some various internet sites. Not that I know any of them. But unless your mask is something like this guy's, you know, you're not going to get away with it, okay? Masks don't work very well. So what does work? All right? I want to be very clear. We work in InfoSec. If you're wearing a mask, you're committing the wrong crime. Okay, so what do you do? I'm going to give you some simple, stupid stuff. Buy a phone that you don't normally use. Hint, hint. Okay, Boost Mobile, pay cash. Walk into a freaking store, like a hole in the wall. Give them $100. You walk out with a phone with a full month of unlimited usage on it, including web. So they can't track your web browsing, schmuck. Okay? And so you can send text messages and phone people, and it's untraceable. It's a burn phone. It goes bye-bye when you're done. Okay? Change your clothing. Disguise your body. Don't worry too much about your face unless you're doing something exceptionally stupid, but change how you walk. Put lifts in your shoes. I'm not saying wear high heels, okay? I'm not Chris Padgett. But what I'm saying is, if you walk like this, Just go up an inch. It's good exercise, okay? And it also changes your height. It changes how you look. It changes how you walk. I'm actually standing on the balls of my feet right now, okay? Yes, I just lost an inch. Hey, there you go. Okay, so there's various different things. And if any of them are in the audience, I don't think I told any of you, so thanks. And by the way, in the lower right corner, that's not an InfoSec person. Quite the opposite. Does anybody know who that is in the lower right corner? Very good. That's scary. Take a look. Slight difference. Makeup can do miracles. So change your face, change your body, change your clothing, okay? The problem is, I don't know what system you're gonna go up against. Some of them measure nose to forehead ratio, some of them measure nose to cheekbone ratio, different ratios of polygons, okay? So we've changed our clothes, we've changed our walk. How do we change our face if we're gonna do something exceptionally stupid? We're going to do a couple of things. Put a Breathe-Right strip on. Flares your nose out. Smile. Not that big. But smile, it changes your face. Remember the no smile rule and the guy with three teeth? Smile all the frickin' time. They can't check your face. Okay? Crazy glue. What am I talking about, crazy glue? If you have hair, this might work. If you are follically challenged, it might not. Take your ears, pin them back. And if you're chronologically challenged, you're old, pin them back and pull them back. Give yourself a facelift. Seriously, I'm not joking. It actually works. Okay? Makeup works really well. Now, I don't know squat about makeup, but I know this is pretty impressive. It's impressive and scary all in the same breath. Her eyes are closed. And I have to say that because it took me three looks. I went, huh? So yeah, her eyes are closed. Makeup can change the contours of your face. You can highlight things. You can downgrade things. I don't know the technical terms. I'm not big on makeup, as you can tell. But you get the idea, okay? Even in smaller fashions, these are a before and after picture of some person whose name I've forgotten. She's a famous movie star. But that's her on the left and the right. So it changed what she looks like and how she looks in much smaller ways, but enough that it can fool the human, okay? Yeah, you could grow a beard, but it takes time to grow. You're talking about actually kind of a different strategy, and that's don't change yourself for the crime, change yourself for every other bit of life. In other words, what you can do is grow a beard, and then before the crime, like at the time of the crime, shave it off, okay? Or shave bits of it off, so it looks like a totally different beard. And then afterwards, grow it back. You know, you have to make sure there's a week between crime and going back to work, but you get the idea. So change something about yourself in everyday life. Put lifts in your shoes for everyday life, and then when you commit the crime, take the lifts out. So every day, your coworkers see you like this, and the police see you like that, and you're tagged like this. Or, you know, pin your ears back for 3 months before a crime, before you go back past all those cameras. And then the day of the crime, you're a whole different person. And then the day after, that's a whole different strategy, but that's a good point. Okay, so anyway, there's lots of ways to keep your face out of databases. There's lots of ways to keep your face changed if it ever goes into the database. There's lots of ways to make sure you don't go into a database. There's rules, there's laws, there's rights. We've talked about all of this. So, you know, you got to change something to make sure you're good. You've got to watch your rights. You've got to protect your rights. You've got to basically make sure that you've got a problem with what's going on so that you can protect the rights that you have. Don't lose what you've got, don't lose what's going on, okay? You know, if I can't put a video camera on my house and videotape my front yard for security, there's a problem. But in the near future, if they keep going the way they are, you're not gonna be able to do it. Thank you. Oh, not bad, okay. So, my timing is awesome. So, two things. First, I'm gonna ask for questions. Three things, four things, I'll count as I go along. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. So I'm gonna ask for some questions, I'm also going to be, as I said, booking out of here in about 10 minutes to get down to Radio Statler. I encourage you to call in, IRC in, chat in, don't crash the booth, but basically ask questions, come along, please. And I'll think of anything else. Oh, and these slides are gonna be up on my website, Data Devastation. Don't go there now, it's just a placeholder site right now, but in a day or two, all the slides will be up, as well as a little write-up that I have of the talk. So you'll, because most of my slides are just pictures, you'll understand the slides with the write-up. Questions? Yeah. Use the microphone, I believe, is what they want you to do.
Just thinking back on the GandhiCam, I agree with you that it's always preferable to seek technological solutions to avoid confrontations.
No, running works really well, too.
Yeah. it seems that you're actually counseling us to give in to bullying and intimidation when we're asked to give up our Fourth Amendment rights. So,
yes and no. Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
If I am a cop and I say, give me your SD card out of that camera right now, and you do so, okay, are you giving into your Fourth Amendment rights, giving up your Fourth Amendment rights? Absolutely. You're also giving up the right to have your ass beat, okay?
And I have a right not to have my ass beat anyway. I don't need to give that up. I'm not going to give that up.
Trust me, there's interpretations of that. Irrespectively, the point is that a few days later, when that video goes up on YouTube, are you really giving up your rights? You're basically going, try. Come on. Come and take it. It's good. I don't care.
I understand what you're saying.
You're right. You're absolutely correct. But I'd rather say give up your SD card but still have the video and don't get hurt. Because as much as I like good cops, and I said it before, I'm pro-police, I'm pro-good police, there's a lot of assholes out there. I'm not going to lie.
When an asshole is barreling at you, you make rational decisions, but
yes,
I think we have to be circumspect and we have to seek opportunities to assert ourselves and push back.
Dude, when an asshole cop is coming at you with a baton, not the time to assert yourself.
That's usually not what happens.
Usually. But be prepared that if that's the worst case scenario and you're prepped for it, awesome. It's that simple. If it doesn't happen, okay, a little extra prep time. Didn't hurt.
Anyway, thanks.
That's all I mean. I respect what you're saying. Please understand. Any other questions?
Yes, here. Middle.
Sorry, it's deer in the headlights moment. Go ahead.
Forgive me, two questions. One is information management, one is paranoia. The information management part is...
I'm good on both.
The current state, from what you describe, is that different systems analyze facial patterns in different ways.
That's correct.
They have different algorithms. They have different system interconnects or APIs.
Right.
At what point do you think the state of the art is going to be sophisticated enough so that they have a standard protocol for facial recognition, which could then potentially result in what's essentially a hash function of an individual face? So instead of searching direct images with all those associated storage.
You just hash it, right?
Just do text search strings.
Absolutely good question. I don't think it's going to happen for a while. And the reason is video surveillance, and I'm going to move along fast, I apologize. Video surveillance is still a very secretive sort of field. They're very, very competitive, and they don't sell to each other even, so it's really, really tough for them to come up with a standard. Like a lot of them say they're open standards. It's bullshit. That means the cables plug into each other. They don't work with each other on a data level, okay?
Could NIST do like a standard or something like that and mandate that for certain federal systems?
It could, but you mandate it for federal systems. Casinos are still our biggest customers, so it doesn't matter. And if they buy this system because that's the better system, then that's what they're going to use, and they're not going to hash their stuff with the federal stuff. It's a really involved, that's a business question, not really a technical question. Technically, it's very simple to do. A business question is very difficult. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Second question.
Over the past several years, the federal authorities have been providing grants and monies to local governments
for
video systems.
Uh-huh.
Do you know anything about back-end interconnects so that they can get in there and suck the data out?
Most of the time, no. Again, different systems because they provide the money, but the state or local authority buys the system from the lowest bidder that gives them the best kickbacks. Not that I said that. But it most of the time, there's no interconnects there, okay? I mean, look, when I used to do NCIC searches, it used to be on a system that I had to tell them, would you please install a pop-up blocker? I'm going to fucking die from closing 4,000 boxes. They're not the smartest people in the world. So, agreed. Yes?
I apologize if you covered this. I got here late. We had a facial recognition camera that somebody brought in for shiggles at work. And we figured it was supposed to be recognizing gender and then also emotion, and we figured we could game it if we just took those like random round stickers that you get in your office and just
right, because it puffs up the cheeks, or it
exactly.
thinks he puffs up the cheeks.
Yeah.
There's a great talk happening here, which I have to meet the guy, called CV Dazzle. He actually has a system where you paint things on your face and it totally screws up the system.
Yeah.
And that's why I had his stuff in my slides and I took it out because I didn't want to be rude. I strongly recommend you go to his talk, and I'm actually going to be at his talk, and I really want to see it and meet him and talk to him.
So do you think in like out and about, do you think that like stickers or something like just
there's
confusing
plenty
points
of
would
ways.
Be helpful?
There's plenty of ways to game systems, but again, it depends if you know what system you're going against. If it's nose to forehead, this doesn't matter.
Right.
Quick question. I also worked on this, so I just want to ask if I don't think you cover this. Is it at all possible to know of anything like LEDs or anything, LED, particularly laser beam LEDs that have very low narrow beams you can plant certain points that, I don't know, if you can blind the camera with? I was just thinking like, you know.
There are LED hats and shields crap that you can blind a camera from seeing your face, but from not recognizing or changing your face is a whole different story. But there are LED. I have another talk. I do a lot of talks about this stuff, and I try to do new material for every talk. There's an LED hat that a guy designed, and I'm sure you know. If you take the bedazzler and downsize it a bit, it'll be roughly a similar idea. And it's so strong IR LEDs that the camera is blinded. So similar idea, but you can't really change your face with them, I don't think. Although that's pretty cool. I'm gonna have to try that. Thank you.
I was just thinking about stopping it from seeing it. Particularly, I was thinking. I know a lot of high tech cameras also use IR filters.
That IR cut filters.
I was just thinking, is there any other wavelength that, particularly if you're, say, you're going to go someplace.
Stick a mag light on your head, maybe, but that's about it.
Okay.
There's IR and there's visual. That's pretty much all they have, man.
Okay.
Police brutality. If you're in a situation where you have something illegal on camera, what do you do?
You hopefully have set it up so that you're uploading before that. Like I said, with the Gandhi Cam or Quic. If you don't, a lot of people carry a spare SD card. Swap the SD cards before the cops come over.
You have it, they don't know you have it, as far as uploading it anonymously.
There's a guy named Alex Munz who gave a great talk yesterday. He's a lawyer. Tiffany Rad is a lawyer. Hell, Rogue Clown, who's in my presentation, is a lawyer, even though she doesn't practice. We have a lot of good geek lawyers. Use them.
Good, thank you.
Sorry, I apologize.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, the question on the crushing the memory cards when the police come by. So, a lot of the protests, like WTO, Zapatista movement, they carry cameras with them to prove any sort of police brutality. And,
right.
You know, if the cops just take it or send you to jail for doing it, that's a problem. And then you suggest, you know, like, you know, some sort of 3G connection. Well, during an emergency, they can shut down the cell phone network, correct?
Right. Then you've got local store, and then you've got I carry two cell phones, so you want my cell phone here? It doesn't happen to be the one with the pictures on it.
Okay. Yeah, my question was basically, how does these new laws sort of impact that? Because it's very critical for people protesting. You know, they might get beat up because for political reasons, you know?
Look, dude, I'm not going to comment on political things in terms of, you know, the politics of them. You're going to know what you're going out there for. If you're going out there for a protest, I would strongly recommend you decide if it's worth your ass getting beat. It's that simple. And if it is, then they turn off 3G, which is kind of unusual. Even after Katrina, after 3 weeks, we had 3G back. But you get the idea. Just be careful. Yes?
Hi. First, I want to say a statement, then a question. The statement is, you were talking about you're not allowed to photograph certain buildings and whatnot.
Yeah.
I was in East Berlin in 1981, and I remember that was...
Sorry.
I was in East Berlin in 1981.
No, I was sorry. It's okay.
That was actually kind of cool. But that was the big warning. They said, don't take pictures of sensitive buildings or government sites because it's completely illegal. And I thought, how ludicrous is that? That's government policy, but now apparently it's...
Welcome to America.
Yeah.
So.
But the question is, tens of millions of people, I would imagine, use Apple's iPhoto, which has facial recognition built into it now, and their entire photo libraries are cross-referenced on their own computer.
Right.
Is there a possibility maybe that Google might be doing this in the future and cross-referencing everybody?
Possibility? Dude, are you a geek? What's that? Yeah, Picasso already does. I mean, trust me, it's being done. Look, you can live your life public, you can live life private, you can live your life semi-private. You make the choice. You put your stuff on Picasa, you put your stuff on Flickr, you put your stuff, you get the idea. It's public, next. So, you know, or you keep it at home on your computer, you know, next to your porn. And live your life public or private, it's your choice. If you live it public, you will be tagged, you will be in databases. It's that simple.
Okay.
1 minute, last question or last two questions, real
all right,
quick. Go ahead.
There you go. Balancing the rights, you know, of privacy that you've claimed, you know, videoing what is around me, mm-hmm. whenever I go outside, okay, you know, you take a picture of anything, it's what you do with it that gets you in trouble.
Right.
Now, I'm not talking about videoing cops, okay, that's a sort of a separate issue, okay.
Your
I'm
question,
talking
sir?
About balancing the right to privacy against the right for me to document what you're doing around me for my personal benefit. So if somebody assaults me, I have them on video. So
yeah.
My question is to balance the right of me to take a video of what's around me against your personal right. Thoughts?
Your rights are what the government says they are. Or what you make the government say they are. Make the government say what you want them to say. Vote.
Okay.
Change the law if you don't like it. I'm being honest.
Cameras are up high. Do hats work?
Sorry?
Cameras are up high. Do hats work?
Sometimes. It depends on the hat. Depends on the camera. Thank you very much.